Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia.
Welcome to the Go and Teach Bible Study broadcast presented by the Monte Vista Church of Christ in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Ken Leach, preacher at Monte Vista, and your host for the next 30 minutes or so. The great prophet Isaiah once said, "Come, let us reason together." That expresses well what I hope to achieve on these radio programs.
Alleluia. We live in a society that's filled with messages delivered on T-shirts. I think everywhere I go, I see people wearing T-shirts that have either a hero, whether it's a rock star, a rock band, a pro athlete, the name of a university or a high school that they like. I see these advertisements put on T-shirts and worn by people. Where I live in Sun City, Arizona, we joke about people wearing a T-shirt that says, "The older I get, the greater I was." I think maybe that has some truth to it. But nonetheless, if you were to design a T-shirt, and on that T-shirt you would have your hero, the hero of heroes, according to your life, who would be on there? Well, I would suggest to you that Jesus Christ might be a good candidate for your T-shirt. And I'm not suggesting that we go and put some kind of a religious message or picture on our T-shirt. The point that I'm making is that one of the ways in our society that shows a favorite is a T-shirt, and that at least from a standpoint of the thought process, our hero ought to be Jesus Christ. Last week, we began a series of lessons entitled All About Jesus. We talked last week about how to overcome with Jesus Christ. We used as a text for that lesson, the fifth chapter of the book of Mark, the first 20 verses, and if you're interested receiving a copy of that lesson free of charge, you can go to our website at www.montevistacoc.com, and when you get to that website, there'll be directions that will help you to order that particular program or any of the programs that we've had on the Go and Teach radio program over the last 3 years, and they'll be sent to you free of charge just as soon as we can get around to getting the work done that surrounds that kind of a request. We hope that you do. And we want to continue now the thought process concerning all about Jesus Christ. And this morning, I'd like to share with you some thoughts concerning Jesus and the use of miracles. Well, let's begin our study by looking at John, the 20th chapter. In the book of John, the 20th chapter, I'd like to focus on verses 30 and 31. If you have your Bible, turn with me over to John 20 and look beginning at verse 30. There, the Bible says, "And many other signs therefore Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these have been written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name." I want you to focus, if you would, for a minute on a phrase that's in that text. It's in verse 31, and it says, "that you may believe." In other words, these miracles that Jesus performed is that so that you and I will believe. It proves at least three things, that text, I believe. Number one, Jesus did miracles. You can't say that you believe in the Bible and say at the same time that you don't believe that Jesus did miracles. Number two, we can learn from that text that those miracles were witnessed by many people. And third, we see that the miracles proved the sonship of Jesus Christ. Our lesson then wants to deal with three things. Number one, we wanted to look at the definition of miracles. And two, we wanted to dissect those miracles and find out what are their characteristics. 3, we want to look at the use of those miracles, and if we have time, we'll throw in a 4th and talk about whether or not those miracles still are being experienced in our day and time, or have the miracles that are talked about in the Bible stopped. First, we want to deal with the definition of miracles. The New Testament describes miracles as those things that are mighty works. They also describe them as wonders and signs. I call your attention to the book of Acts in chapter 2. And let's look, if you would, in Acts chapter 2, verse 22. There, the Bible says, "Men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs, which God performed through him in your midst, just as you yourselves know." I also refer to Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, chapter 2 and verse 4. There the Bible says, "God also bearing witness with them, both by signs and wonders and by various miracles and by the gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will." What is a mighty work? Well, the definition of a mighty work is the power required to produce the work. The wonders is the effect on those that witness the event or the mighty work. For instance, those people that saw the calming of the sea, the casting out of the demon, the calming of the sea in Matthew the 8th chapter, verse 27, or the casting out of the demons in Matthew the 9th chapter, verse 33, they marveled. They witnessed the event, and they marveled. That was a wonder in their mind. They were astonished in Luke the 9th chapter, verse 43, in the casting out of the demons, and they were amazed. Mark the 2nd chapter, verse 12, when the person that was paralyzed was healed. Well, the signs, what are the signs? The signs are the significance of the miracles. The workers of the miracles which are of God. Now, I want to suggest to you that miracles are not just remarkable things. There are a lot of remarkable things that are not miracles. You could well say, I believe, that all miracles are remarkable, but not all remarkable things are miracles. When we have someone that is sick and they enter into the hospital and they are treated by those that understand medicine, they might recover, and that might be remarkable. But that's not a miracle, not the kind of miracle that's talked about in the New Testament. Having a baby, that's certainly remarkable, but it's not the kind of miracle that's talked about in the New Testament that Jesus and those inspired people therein did. Those remarkable things are accomplished through natural laws that are set into force by God, even back to creation. Miracles are not the intervention of God through his providential care. There's two subjects that one must understand when studying about the use of miracles by Jesus. One is the providential care of God for people, and second is the intervention of God through miracles. God's care for his own is manifest in Romans the 8th chapter and verse 28. There the Apostle Paul wrote, "And we know to them that love God, all things work together for good, even to them that are called according to his purpose." And that's accomplished through natural laws. It's not accomplished through miracles. So then, a miracle or a mighty work or a wonder or a sign, as the Bible describes it, is God's intervention in a way which cannot be accomplished by natural law. It is something that is beyond nature. Let me illustrate that. The providence of God helps us with our daily bread, according to Matthew 6 and verse 11. But We read in John the 6th chapter, verse 1 through 14, how the 5,000 were fed miraculously. One is providence, and one is a miracle. Another illustration. God helps us find safety in perilous times. We know that from Romans the 8th chapter. But in Matthew the 8th chapter and verse 26, God miraculously calmed the sea. There's a difference. Another illustration. God helps us to see, to go into medically perilous times. And he sees us through surgery. I mean, there is a power to prayer. And that's God's providence. But when we read in John the 9th chapter 1 through 7 about the blind man being healed, that's a miracle. That's outside the natural law. That's beyond nature. Another illustration. God prevents death, sometimes through natural law. And certainly we ascribe a great thanks to God for protecting us in those perilous times. But in Luke the 7th chapter, verse 11 through 17, he raised the dead. That's preventing death. That's a miracle. There's a difference between using natural law to protect and a miracle or a mighty work or a wonder or a sign. What then are the characteristics of the miracles that Jesus did? Well, he did many kinds of miracles. He healed sickness and disease, Matthew 9, verse 35. Jesus walked on water, Matthew 14 and verse 29. He cast out demons, Matthew the 8th chapter and verse 16. We also saw that last week, didn't we? When we were talking about Jesus, when he cast out the demons that were the account that was recorded in Mark the 5th chapter. Well, Jesus fed 4,000, and then he fed 5,000 with just a limited supply of food. It was a miracle. Matthew 15, verse 32 through 39, and Matthew 14, verses 15 through 21. Jesus raised the dead. He raised Lazarus after he had been dead for 4 days. John the 11th chapter, verse 39 through 44. That's not providence being talked about. Those are miracles. That's just five of the different kinds of miracles that Jesus performed while he was on the earth. John said, and there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose even the world itself would not contain the books that should be written, John 21 and verse 25. Therefore, we're saying that just a sampling of what Jesus did in the realm of miracles are given by those five illustrations that we just put before you. Those miracles that Jesus did were before many witnesses. In Canaan at the marriage feast, in John the 2nd chapter, first 11 verses, were before many people. It was in a crowded event. The paralytic had to be let down from the roof in Mark the 2nd chapter 1 through 12, in order to be healed. There was such a crowd in that house. Certainly the miracle of feeding the 4,000 and then the 5,000 was not done in a closet. It was done before many witnesses. Not only before the miracle, but after the miracle was witnessed. The blind man who had been so from birth in John the 9th chapter was seen before the miracle and after the miracle. The lame man who had been so for 38 years in John the 5th chapter, verses 5 through 9. We learn about before he was healed and after he was healed. And we see there were witnesses on both sides of that miracle. Certainly Lazarus, when he was raised, we see people at the tomb, John the 11th chapter, that witnessed the before and the after of that miracle. Well, another characteristic of the miracles that Jesus performed was that they were attempted to be discredited by the enemies of Jesus. The man that was born blind in John the 9th chapter was brought before and questioned by the Pharisees. In verse 4 of chapter 9, They said to this person, "How can you see?" In verse 15, the man said, "He put clay on my eyes and he washed it, and I can see." And then they used the Sabbath day to charge Jesus with sin. And there were others there that said, well, if he's a sinner, how can sinners do such things? How can they do such signs? And then the Pharisees questioned the parents, and they wanted to know if he was really blind from birth. And certainly he was. I want you to listen, if you would, to that account. It's found in John, the 9th chapter. Let's look at the passage that begins in verse 29 and read through verse 33 of John, the 9th chapter. There the Bible says, "We know that Jesus has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he's from. And the man answered and said to them, 'Well, here is an amazing thing, that you do not know where he's from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is God-fearing, he does hear his will, and he hears him. And since the beginning of time, it has never been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he couldn't do that.'" Well, how about that? The enemies of Jesus tried to discount his miracles, and they were unsuccessful, weren't they? We see in the miracles of Jesus instantaneous effect. The blind man saw at once. The lame man walked instantly. The multitudes were fed immediately. And not only do we see that, we see that his miracles were complete. There was not some process that Jesus started in the water that resulted in wine. Jesus changed the water to wine. It was the complete package. Multitudes were completely fed, even to the point where they had enough to pick up after that meal and fill many baskets. The physical infirmities that Jesus healed were completely healed. You don't hear about any relapses. Do you think for a minute that Jesus could have got away with the kind of faith healing that we see today, where a person is all charged up emotionally and does things out of the ordinary, and then a little bit later reverts back to the way they were in the first place? Do you think for a moment the Pharisees would let Jesus get away with that? Well, they wouldn't. Jesus' miracles were those that could not be duplicated. Why not raise the dead today if we can do the same kind of miracles Jesus could do? Why not heal the deaf and the blind and the lame? If somebody's got the power, why not prove it? Prove it by performing those miracles. Certainly, that would provide the same results that Jesus was looking for. That would show us that are doubters of these miracles, that would show us for sure that this person was from God and not from man. But they can't do that because it's not the kind of miracles that Jesus did. Don't affirm that miracles can happen, just perform them. I remember in Birmingham one time I was preaching, we had a fellow come in and says that his preacher could raise the dead. And I said, "Well, that preacher must be something special. If you'll just bring that preacher down here next Wednesday night, we've got a doctor here that can provide a cadaver, and we'll bring that cadaver in here, and your preacher can raise him from the dead, and your congregation will grow exponentially because all of us will believe in that preacher." But he didn't show up the next Wednesday night. Let me ask you a question. For those of you that believe that miracles can be performed today, but only if a person has faith, what kind of faith did Lazarus have when he was laying in that grave dead for 4 days? John gives us the purpose of listing the miracles of Jesus Christ. He says, "But these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." John 20 and verse 31. The use of Jesus' miracles then was to establish his identity as the Son of God, to establish Jesus Christ as the Messiah, the Anointed One, the one that they were looking for. In Acts 2 and verse 26, the Bible says, "Let all of the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made him both Lord and Christ." You see the effect on the 5,000, John 6 and verse 14, where the Bible says, "When therefore the people saw the sign which he did, they said, This is of a truth the prophet that cometh into the world." Jesus used miracles to fulfill prophecy, Matthew 1 and verse 23, "And they shall call his name Emmanuel," which translated means God with us. When Jesus raised the widow of Nain's son, we read, "And fear took hold of all, and they glorified God, saying, A great prophet is arisen among us, and God hath visited his people," Luke 7 and verse 16. Jesus used miracles to show that he was from God. John 3 and verse 2, as it regards Nicodemus, says, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that thou doest except God be with him." Jesus showed that he was approved of God in the use of miracles. Peter said in Acts 2 and verse 22, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God unto you by mighty works and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, even as you yourselves know." Jesus used miracles to uphold his authority. To claim authority is one thing, but to have authority is a completely different thing. Jesus showed his authority. Authority for the things that he taught by casting out the unclean spirit from the man in the synagogue. I call your attention to a passage of Scripture that's found in the book of Mark. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Mark the first chapter, and I want to read verse 21 beginning through verse 27. In Mark the first chapter, verse 21, "And they went to Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath day he entered the synagogue and began to teach. And they were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority, not as one of the scribes. And just then there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, What do we have to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Be quiet, and come out of him. And throwing him into convulsions, the unclean spirit cried out with a loud voice and came out of him. And they were all amazed, so that they debated among themselves, saying, What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. And immediately news about him went out everywhere into the surrounding districts of Galilee." You see there? Jesus used miracles to uphold his authority. He cast out that unclean spirit in front of those folks to show that he had authority to do that. He showed his authority several times for his practices with miracles. Look with me, if you would, in Luke the 13th chapter. In Luke the 13th chapter, and beginning in verse 10, we see that passage there showing us that Jesus showed his authority with the use of miracles. "And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman who for 18 years had had a sickness caused by a spirit. And she was bent double and could not straighten up at all. And when Jesus saw her, he called her over, and he said to her, Woman, you are freed of your sickness. And he laid his hands upon her, and immediately she was made erect again and began glorifying God. And the synagogue official, indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, began saying to the multitude in response, There are 6 days in which work can be done. Therefore, come during them and get healed, not on the Sabbath day. But Jesus said to him, You hypocrites, does not each one of you on the Sabbath day untie his ox or his donkey from the stall and lead him away to water him? And this woman, a daughter of Abraham as she is, whom Satan has bound for 18 years, should she not have been released from this bond on the Sabbath day? And as he said this, all the opponents were being humiliated, and the entire multitude was rejoicing over all the glorious things being done by him. Jesus used miracles to uphold his authority. Well, there's some more I'd like to say about that, but we'll have to wait until next week. Again, I thank you for listening and pray that you have an unusual opportunity this week to let a bright light shine for Jesus Christ. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for joining me today. If you enjoy Bible-centered study, why not come visit the Monte Vista Church of Christ? We're located on the west side of 40th Street between McDowell and Thomas Roads. 2202 North 40th Street is our address. We have Bible classes for all ages each Sunday morning at 9:30 and each Wednesday evening at 7. Everyone interested in God's revelation to man is welcome. We also assemble for worship following our Sunday morning Bible classes, and then again on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Until next time, this is Ken Leach, hoping you have unlimited opportunity to let your light shine for Jesus Christ. Amen.